Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So sadly, we ended with this breaking news yesterday afternoon. We are going to begin with it today with the NTSB at the podium now in Louisville. The debris field of that crash stretched 1/2 mile. They have now confirmed that the engine of that UPS plane that crashed, we have 9 dead, several still missing. The engine detached during and before the takeoff, Scott. As it was gaining altitude, the engine really
didn't gain a lot of altitude.
Detached.
It was a fireball. The left engine was a fireball for most of the videos that we saw. The entire stretch of the runway, the engine was a fireball.
So I think the head NTSB investigator, Todd Inman, is at the podium now. If we can listen in, Sam.
It will be a focus area led by an NTSB individual, along with subject matter experts that are in that field that can provide expertise to help analyze the evidence. Our current groups that are being formed are operations. They will review the history of the accident flight and the crew members' duties for as many days before the crash that appear relevant. Our structures group will document the airframe wreckage, the accident scene, including the calculation of the impact angles to help determine the plane's pre-impact course and altitude. We also have a power plants group. They will work on the examination of the engines and engine accessories. We have a systems group. They will study the components of the plane's hydraulic, electrical, pneumatic, and associated systems, together with the instruments and elements of the flight control system. Now, outside of that group, we have also brought in, and another group that we'll have will be maintenance, which will obviously be looking at maintenance records, any work that's been done on this plane for as long as back as needed. We are also bringing in specialists in air traffic control, human performance, aircraft performance, recorders, government relations, media relations. And in addition to our investigators, we have brought 5 of our transportation disaster assistance team. They will be dealing with the survivors, the families, and others under what we call a federally legislated accident from the 1996 Family Assistance Act. Now, tonight we will be holding an organizational meeting and establishing parties to our investigation. Because we're very new into it, we'll not be announcing the parties at this moment, but they will obviously be manufacturers of the aircraft, operators of the aircraft, unions representing some of the members. We'll have more details for the on that probably tomorrow during a briefing. Now, the NTSB offers this party status to those companies, government agencies, and associations that have employees or activities or equipment involved in the accident. And we offer this because they have subject matter expertise and technical expertise and relevant information to help support the development of the best possible report. Now, once a party joins an NTSB investigation, they are not permitted to release documents or talk publicly about the investigation without the consent NTSB.
I don't know where we're going here, but this is...
The meat of what we needed to convey to you happened, unfortunately, right as we were in a break, and that is that engine detached very early on. And in fact, someone had a photograph of it I saw overnight, and it appears largely intact. It's crumpled, but it's intact.
Did you see the video from the airport worker who was in the truck at the end of the runway?
It's unbelievable.
Where the plane basically didn't flip over the guy, but it was less than 100 yards
close
away from the guy.
Close enough to be comfortable.
It was cartwheeling.
I mean, if he wasn't in an enclosed vehicle, he might have lost his eyebrows.
We talked about this, Sam, yesterday. How many pounds of fuel were on that thing? It was completely loaded.
36,000.
36,000 pounds of fuel.
630,000 pounds, including cargo and plane. And it was roughly 42,000 gallons of fuel.
Plane traveling some 180 miles an hour.
Yep.
So we had asked yesterday, why not abort the takeoff? If you knew the plane was on fire as it's going down the runway, well, the engine dropped out. At that point, do you have any control?
So I don't think the engine dropped out until it hit the end of the runway. However, once you hit that V2 that Jesse was talking about yesterday, and that V2, by the way, for an MD-11 is 186 miles per hour. If you have 630,000 pounds, and I did the math yesterday, traveling at 186 miles per hour, it will take anywhere from a half mile to a mile to get all of that weight to stop. That's why you see that debris field is just over a half mile long.
Why not keep that on the ground?
Because I think, Scott, this is my guess, and we need to ask Jesse this. Once that engine falls out, which how the hell does that even happen?
But Dana, Jesse said yesterday on the show, if he was in that situation, he would have kept that plane on the ground.
But we don't know. We did not know yesterday that the engine had fallen out just prior.
We knew the engine was on fire.
We knew it was on fire.
Well, however, Jesse also said that when you are doing a takeoff, you aren't looking at the wings of the plane. You're looking dead ahead. And so in those pilots' mind, they're thinking, oh, I've hit V2. The safest option at this point is to pull up and try to get off the ground.
So the death toll currently sits at 9. We have 15 injured and 16 missing. And then I read one of the most haunting posts from the wife of a pilot today that I'm just going to read directly from Facebook, okay? So a lot of folks, she said, have asked about my husband and whether or not he is safe. My heart is with those who are grieving. Here's my story from yesterday. She's just driving, kids in carpool, Scott, and someone called her and said, your husband flies, right? Is he flying this week? It was random. She said, I was just trying to get my kids home from sports activities. Yes, I said, he's flying right now, actually. He took off from Louisville a short time ago.
Oh, jeez.
Silence. Can you pray? The woman replied. Then the breaking news alert started popping up on my phone with multiple casualties. For the next what seemed like an eternity, my heart was in my throat, my hand shaking, I was sobbing. I really thought we lost him. He is the rock of our family. Have I told him that? Why didn't I tell him again as he left the house today? Why don't I say it daily? I had to pull over. The children were in my car. Hey guys, mommy doesn't feel so good. I need a minute, I said. My husband had last texted me at 4:41 p.m. I love you, getting ready to take off. I sat staring at that text. It is the last message I had. I was trying to just gather myself. When the crash happened, was that the last one? There just wasn't time. Was it him? My phone is now flooded with loved ones asking, are you okay? He's okay, right? Have you heard from him? No, I don't know. I can't get a hold of him. I reread my last text to him. It was silly. It was meaningless. Complaining about one of our kids. Stuff that doesn't matter. I prayed. I cried. For myself, yes, but for others too, because this is someone's life. And then the video of that crash came up on my phone. It felt like an eternity, she writes. I finally heard from him. Hours later, after he'd safely landed several states over, it wasn't him. But it was his colleague. She says relief and then some guilt because that is someone's entire world. And I am praying for all of the families, for the 9 souls lost. I am grateful. Events like this put your problems in perspective because none of us is promised tomorrow.
Two thoughts on this. Number one, and this is a little inside baseball. When we got Jesse Reed on the phone yesterday.
Yeah.
And he joined us, I believe, right after 5:15 or 5:30. I can't remember. He told me before he came on the air, he goes, it's a small community.
Oh, yeah.
Before I come on the air, let me make sure that nobody involved is somebody I know.
Yeah.
Okay? And once he learned the identities of the people that were on that plane, he didn't know them. And so he was like, okay, I'll come on the air. Number two, I love the idea of let me rephrase. I think it's really important that we remember we are not promised tomorrow. And how many of us go to bed every night and we're just like, love you, love you.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a throwaway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, hey, I love you, blah, blah, blah. Tonight, because of what you just read, and it really hit home, I'm going to remind T, she's my best friend. I love her.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to spend the rest of my life with her.
Yeah.
Because we don't do that enough.
Can you imagine, Scott, that mom in the car with those kids?
Petrified.
Her husband has just taken off from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just,
Hey, just taking off. Love you, babe.
And then she says she's so filled with gratitude and so grateful and all of those things.
Yep.
But then guilt, because there are nine families whose loved ones are not going to come home. By the way, the fire department is going to be on the ground for a long time.
Yeah. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Meme that I just saw on Facebook. When you think there is no hope left, remember the lobsters in the tank at the Titanic restaurant.
Okay. Did you say that because you know that today's a happy Titanic day?
That's awesome.
Freedom! Remember the lobsters in the tank on the Titanic's restaurant.
Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we have one of the head curators of the new exhibit coming in studio to talk about this glorious exhibit that is coming to
town. Oh, you're going tomorrow night.
The little VIP premieres tomorrow night. Little cocktail, little black tie party tomorrow night.
Are you going to get dressed up a la 1921?
I am going to get dressed up like Rose.
Really? You wear a band around your head?
I might take a fedora. Maybe a fascinator.
You're going to wear a fedora?
I don't know if we'll have time, Scott.
Yeah. What are you going to wear?
We are going in. It is black tie and ball gown. So I am so excited. But at 3 o'clock today, he's going to come in and talk about the exhibit and why this one's different.
Who's he?
One of the curators of the entire exhibit.
Oh.
The global exhibit is coming on the program with our friends from Union Station at 3 o'clock.
Is George Guastella
going to
be here?
I don't know that George is going to be in studio today. He's very busy getting ready for this thing. But we will have the Titanic guy in.
You're very excited.
I'm very excited.
I hope you have a great time. U.S. News and World Report is out with the best places to retire in the United States.
Okay.
Would you care to guess any of them?
Best cities or states?
These are cities.
Okay.
And none of them are large cities, so okay. I think you're going to fail.
Like Naples, Florida? There's got to be a ton of Florida down on there.
There are three Floridas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cape Coral.
Okay, so I'm gonna put you out of your misery.
I have no idea.
Number 10 is Lynchburg, Virginia.
Okay.
Never heard of it?
Yeah.
Palm Coast, Florida is number 9.
Never heard of it.
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is number 8. Spring Hill, Florida.
Florida.
Will you Google Spring Hill, Florida for me, please, and tell me where that is? Number 6 is Rancho Rio, New Mexico.
Heck yeah.
Really?
Number 5 is Spring, Texas.
I've never heard of any of these cities.
Spring Hill, Florida is not even an incorporated city.
Where is it?
It's unincorporated.
That's probably why it's so great.
It is south and west of Brooksville, north of Tampa.
Dan, you want in? What's up?
Yeah, Spring Hill's a town there on the Gulf Coast.
On the Gulf Coast.
And Rio Rancho is a suburban city on the edge of Albuquerque.
Okay. Number four is the Woodlands, Texas. I believe that is outside of Houston, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Number three, Dan, is...
What?
What?
I'm just going to read it the way it's spelled.
Please.
Oh, boy.
Homo Sassa Springs, Florida.
Yeah. Homo Sassa Springs.
Homo Sassa Springs.
Homo Sassa.
Homo Sassa Springs.
Homo Sassa Springs, Florida.
Very quaint.
Are you getting a little chuckle out of that?
Yeah.
12.
It's spelled Homo Sassa.
Okay,
it comes from a different language, you know.
Yes.
And where is it?
In Florida.
We got that, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Appreciate participating in the show.
It's Gulf Coast. I think it's north of Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa Bay.
Number two is Weirton, West Virginia.
I have not heard of a single one of these. What was the metric? There's a Casey's General Store and you've never heard of it?
Okay.
Typically cost of living.
Yeah.
Yeah, Homo Sassa Springs is north of Spring Hill.
Quality of life.
Okay.
Happiness.
Okay.
Affordability. Retiree taxes.
Oh, there we go. Okay. And number one, lay it on me.
Midland, Michigan.
That is a list made up of cities. The entire list that none of us have ever heard of, except Dan, who spends a lot of time in Florida.
Well, Midland happens to be a chunk of land in mid-Michigan.
Okay. Who knew? Big
totally missed that one.
Changes maybe today, Sam, coming that I think, you know, you never want to see anyone lose their job, .. However,
this one you do.
However, I think people in Jackson County are going to be particularly happy to hear about the news that we are going to share with you.
We are trying to get the new county executive, the interim county executive, until next November, I believe, Phil Lavota on the air.
Oh, good.
Phil, if you're hearing this, email me back. He held a press conference today at 1 o'clock that, wow, I didn't know anything about Phil Lavota before today, other than that his name was being tossed around as the possible interim fill-in.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's awesome.
Yeah, he held a news conference, Scott, and just spilled the tea.
There was more transparency from Phil Lavota in the first 4.8 seconds of his news conference today than we got from Frank White in, what was it, 7 years?
Well, hang on, because he and I are friends on Facebook, so let me hit him up.
So he says relief is coming, but...
Immediately out of the gate, he announced that all of the 2023 assessments that violated state law, meaning if your property taxes in Jackson County went up more than 15% in 2023... He is instructing county legislators to roll that back to a 15% increase cap. He directly addressed the fact that the county does not hold the purse strings. So any of the money that has been paid that was overpaid, because most of the people that did get those extremely high assessments went ahead and paid.
They had to pay it.
He said that since the purse strings are not in the county's control, they can't pay any of that money back. What they can do is write you a tax credit for next year. So anybody who overpaid in 2023 will get whatever sum they overpaid taken off their property taxes next year.
What a breath of fresh air.
Listen to
this is
quote.
All in the first 4 minutes,
this
by
is in the
way.
First four, and then wait, we haven't and even then, dropped the bombshell. Wait, let me read this and then you drop the bomb. Okay, Sam? For the past 3 years, he said, our community has endured mixed messaging, confusion, and a chaotic and frustrating process that has impacted thousands of property owners. I have listened, we have learned, and we are taking action. Sam, go ahead.
And then he addressed the vote last night where Jackson County voters decided that they wanted the assessor position to be elected position from here on out.
I 100% agree with that.
He followed that up, and I'm sure that Gail McCann-Beatty got the news the same time that we did. He followed that up
get out.
With a call on Gail McCann-Beatty to submit her letter of resignation within the next 24 hours, and if she does not submit it, he will submit it for her.
Scott,
wow!
She found out in a news conference
that she was out of a job.
She has 24 hours to box up her stuff and get out.
Get out. You suck at what you do for a living. Get out.
Now, what we want to ask Phil is, what about all of the other people that work in that office? Are they tossing the entire office, or just the people at the top that...
Okay. It's a great point. It had to be more than one person that weighed in on the decision to hire Tyler Technologies in the first place.
Right.
And then for whatever reason, 2 years later, after they were an absolute dumpster fire the first time, hire them again.
So I just sent him a message saying, if you have a minute, give us a call. I gave him the hotline number, by the way, Sam. So we'll see if we can get Phil Lavoda on the air. Can when we get back, we got to take a quick break. Can we play some of his news conference today?
Let me see if I can get it. Yeah.
It's glorious. Channel 9 has it. Yes.
Okay. 913-586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
So for the past 3 years, our community has endured mixed messaging, confusion, and at times a chaotic and frustrating process that has impacted thousands of property owners. I have listened, we have learned, and we are taking action. My Jackson County assessing officials have been directed to correct the 2023 assessment roll to reflect the assessed valuations for all personal property parcels that do not exceed a 15% increase. This correction represents a significant and necessary step toward restoring public trust. And that is one of my major goals in this position. While it would be impossible to return funds already spent, as the county doesn't hold these funds, we don't hold the tax dollars in reserve. We are ensuring accountability and fairness moving forward. So, in coordination with the State Tax Commission's guidance, tax credits will be issued to impacted personal property owners over the next 3 years.
Interesting. So you just heard there from Jackson County Executive Phil Lavoda that they cannot give you a refund, but what they will give you is
one hell of a tax credit.
Is a tax credit.
And yeah, so they're splitting it up over the next 3 years, which is smart, because if you were to take every single affected homeowner, which if we remember correctly was 56,000 of them, and give those full credits in 1 year, the county's not going to have any money.
They'd be bankrupt.
I ask again, if you're increasing the valuation of all these homes and you're bringing in all this extra money that you didn't have before, where is the money?
Gone. Well, the money is already gone. School districts got some of it. I think there's some transparency with where the money went. That's how we know we can't get it back. It's already spent.
The problem is the county doesn't have the bank account.
Right.
The state owns the bank account.
Then doled it out, Scott.
But let me use simple math here. Let's say, just for the sake of the argument, that the county was pulling in $100,000 a year on property taxes.
Okay.
Obviously, it's much
make
higher.
Make it round.
But I'm just trying to make it simple. Let's say that Jackson County was bringing in $100,000 a year in property taxes. And then all of a sudden, they're bringing in $175,000 in property taxes.
Yeah.
Okay? Year to year, you're up $75,000 more than you were the year before. Where did those $75,000 go?
To the state bank account.
And by $75,000, I really mean
millions.
25, 30, 50,
I believe
60
it was
million.
Nearly 40 million, yeah.
Yes. Okay. And so the money is gone. How they decide
whose pocket.
Yes, in the state. How the state decide how they're going to dole that out, I don't know. Phil could probably answer that question. It's already spent, which is why we can't claw it back. One of the questions I've always had that no one has ever been able to answer on this program is that Gail McCann-Beatty, who is, I believe, as we speak, clearing out her office.
Good.
Repeatedly said that, we didn't have that many appeals. We only had, on average, 25,000 or 50,000, whatever it was, it's about 30% that appealed. It wasn't that bad.
30%.
It doesn't mean everyone's gonna. It doesn't mean everyone's gonna see 30. She said some will see higher, some will see lower. Right. Yeah. She sat down with Channel 41 a while ago, and they asked her, "Okay, but wait, some people saw 50%, 80%, 100%." And her reply,
"State law is 15%."
Explain this to me. Her reply was, "I understand everyone is struggling to have to pay more. I remind people my function by the state statute is to place property values on everyone in the county, and they have to do this by law." Right? I understand that. Sure. No one has ever been able to explain to me that if it is law that by state statute you have to bring these into line because that's the law, were we in violation of the law every single year in Kansas City, Missouri until last year?
Yes. So you remember in 2023, she had the gumption to come on this program twice in the same week.
I remember.
She came on for an hour twice in the same week and explained it over and over and over again. We had to implement these increases because state law says that we must value property consistent with modern market.
We asked her then, Sam.
True. But you can't follow one state law and completely ignore the other that caps the increase at
15%. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. 913-586-7798.
The phones are ringing. If you are one of the ones that, if you're looking at a significant tax credit spread out over the next 3 years, does that make you whole? Because the people that have lost their houses, too late. If you've lost your house, it is too late.
And the reason that the county cannot do a refund, for those of you wondering, is it would bankrupt the county.
Oh, without question.
So that's why they have to do tax credits.
And the county doesn't have the money. The county turned the money over to the state.
Larry on line one. Larry, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, I just heard what Phil Lavota said, and if you replay that, he said personal property. He didn't say anything about real property. So personal properties, cars, boats, trailers, RVs, what have you, livestock. He didn't say real property. He didn't say, you know, he wasn't talking about real estate taxes. He said personal property.
We'll have to go.
We'll go back and look, Larry, and see, maybe he misspoke. Because
I think the gist was
it was Larry, because think about it, Larry. He said, we can't give you your money back. He's not talking about your boat or your car there.
No,
he's talking about your home.
Yes.
Well, and I think he was mentioning personal property taxes as an overarching personal property.
Yeah,
taxes.
I think
there was no issue with the assessment of a, you know, Ford F-150 that you bought 5 years ago.
I don't think Jackson County property owners are complaining about bloated boat taxes or truck taxes. What they're complaining about, let's be honest, we all know the truth, is their homes. And for him to hold a news conference today and say, we're gonna give tax credits for this, we can't give a refund for obvious reasons, the county would go bankrupt, we're gonna give tax refunds, he's talking about your home.
And a lot of people on the text line are sharing a very important sentiment. How many homeowners lost their home because of this? How many homeowners?
I just said you're not.
Dana just said that
you're not going to make those people whole.
Yeah,
I mean, how many people had to move out of their homes and go get an apartment or move to another county because in Jackson County, under the, dare I say, wayward leadership of Frank White,
leadership is a soft term,
and leadership is a stretch. People were damn near forced out of their homes, if not forced out of their homes.
By the way, with the vote in, with Jackson County residents saying, we want to vote for our first elected assessor in November 2028, Jackson County will join every other major charter county in Missouri in electing the assessor.
I did not know that.
Kansas City Star just posted this.
Huh.
Under the ballot measure, according to unofficial results, Jackson County residents will vote for their first elected assessor in November of 2028, joining every other major charter county in Missouri.
913-586-7798.
Very quickly, he did specify later in the press conference that he misspoke when he said personal property.
He did mean real
estate.
Property.
Yeah, okay. Linda in Oak Grove. Linda, hello.
Well, I just have a question that I hate to say it almost, but I think I need to. Has there been anything done to, say, perhaps have an audit of where this money goes? Because I just wonder how much of it might have gone to, say, Frank White and his cronies.
The problem is, Linda, the money was not the counties to spend. That money, if I understand correctly, went to the state. And look, do they need an audit over there?
I don't know that that's right.
Yes.
I think some of it went to the state, but we're talking about property taxes. So when you're talking about your property taxes.
Schools.
School districts, libraries, the county, maybe the city you live in. It is all over the map on where that money actually goes.
I understand what Linda's saying. I don't think there has been a suggestion that politicians' pockets were lined with this updated money. That being said, do they need an audit and an audit on top of an audit? Probably. Phil today talked about restoring confidence in the office. He said, my job is to come in here, clean house, restore confidence. I would think that would include an audit, Linda.
Jackson County Executive Phil Lavota is joining us on the hotline. Phil, can you hold on through the break? We have so many questions for you.
You bet.
All right, stand by. That is Jackson County Executive Phil Lavota. He joins us on the other side here on Dan and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's bring in the Jackson County Executive, Phil Lavota, who is joining us on the KMZ Hotline. Mr. Executive, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
You bet. Somebody's got a bat line directly to me, so.
Well, I appreciate it as always, and it's good to hear from you, Phil. People have so many questions. One of the things I want to start with, the Kansas City Star used the word, and I think adequately so, rage. They literally used the word rage with respect to what has happened here with the assessments. Can you help our listeners understand, you know, you can't make them whole again, you can't give the money back, but what does your announcement today mean for relief for the homeowners who at least were able to keep their homes?
Well, rage is right. Rage was 85% to recall Frank White. Rage was 88% yesterday to make the assessor's position elected. So they recalled Frank White and they recalled Gail McCann Beatty. And what happened is the assessment process was such a debacle. They were given bad evaluations. And then when they tried to deal with it and go talk to their own government, they were treated poorly and not treated fairly. And it's just been, it's made people just question their government, to say the least. So today we're following the state tax commission's order that said we need to roll back to 2023 numbers. So any taxpayers that we will go back to the 2023 numbers you had and the increases that you probably paid too much in taxes. Unfortunately, the money you paid is gone. It's been passed over the taxing jurisdictions of the school district and that. So I don't have money, and the county doesn't have money to give it back to you, but we're going to give you tax credits, and we're going to spread them out over 3 years. That's to help not bankrupt school districts and that type of thing. So when the tax bill comes, they'll get a bill, but it'll also be a credit of what they paid before, so they won't have to pay that entire bill. They'll get a credit towards future payments, if that makes sense. It's a lot in the weeds. I mean, it's easy to make this tax policy across the board, but implementing it is difficult. It's not something we can't get done, but it's something we're going to get done.
Phil, does the Jackson County assessor have a job this time tomorrow?
She does not have a job now. At the press conference, my response was that she has the opportunity to resign or be removed from office. And since then, we've had a meeting with her and her counsel, and she's decided she was not going to resign. And so she was terminated. She is no longer the assessor. She's been removed.
So she has been fired.
You fired her.
You know, here's what the word fired is, a word. And, you know, I got to take my county executive. I put my legal hat on sometimes too as a lawyer. Fired is a term of art. She serves at the leisure of the county executive. She's a department head. And I appoint them and I can remove them. So this is not someone that works in the parks department doing a job that's got fired from the county. She's been removed from her office under my authority on the county charter. I know I'm speaking legalese and semantics with you, but it's important that she's been removed from office and that I have the authority to do that.
You know, but it's so important for folks to understand, and we were talking about this just a few minutes ago, and I'm going to use really simple math, okay? Let's say that in 2022, the county generated, and I know this is a way low number, $100,000 in property taxes, which was divvied up between the school districts, the libraries, the county, et cetera. And then in 2023, the county generates $150,000 in property taxes. Where did that extra money go?
That went to the taxing jurisdiction, the school districts, the library, the cities, to the county, which the county gets a small percentage of all that. There's a large breakdown of tax levies of where they go. That money went on and went to them.
And was spent. That's why you can't claw it back.
And right. at no point, Phil, did anybody say, wow, we're getting a lot more money than we did last year.
I can't speak to any of the school districts, but if I was them and I saw this windfall, I would have built a new gymnasium or paid teachers more, because they didn't see anything happening at the county level. The former county executive wasn't doing anything. He was passing the buck, and no one was getting any answers. So, you know, I don't fault any of the jurisdictions that got any money and spending it, because they don't have it. And so I can't claw it back. I can't go to them and say, give me your money back, because they spent it. So that's unfortunate for the tax. I'd like to give them money back and put money in their pocket. It's not there. But tax credit does become real money when you're forced to pay a bill, and you can pay a lot less than that it's on the bill.
Is there going to be an audit, Phil? One of our listeners had that question. I think it's a solid question. You talk about restoring faith in the office and where did the money go and all of those things. And even if all of those I's were dotted and T's were crossed, I think people want some reassurance there.
Well, I don't think there's any question that the money didn't go somewhere. It went where it went. But to the point of an audit, yeah. I mean, I'm coming in after 10 years of a different culture of government than I have. No transparency, no organizational chart, people doing things that they're not authorized to do. So in that aspect of it, yeah, we're doing an audit every day. We've created an organizational chart that we presented to the county legislature this week, and every one of them almost said, you know, we've never had this, and they've all served for 3 years at least, some have served longer. We've never had this. We never even been able to see what our county executive and the county government looks like, from department heads to who they report to. So I guess my response would be, yeah, we're doing an audit over everything every day.
Yeah,
Phil, one of the requirements for being the Jackson County executive, the position you now hold, was that you cannot run for, or you had to agree not to run for election. Do you stand by that?
Well, first of all, let's back up. That's not a requirement. That's something I said every time that I was asked. I'm only going to serve this term till the end. I will not run. Now, the legislature asked questions of other people running and asked them, will you sign something saying you won't run? And I gladly signed it. I'm not interested in running again, and I will not run for the four-year term.
Why not?
Because I thought it was important. Well, I'll tell you why not. I thought it was really important for someone to get in here to focus on fixing things and not make decisions based on, well, is this going to be good politically for me?
Right.
Am I going to piss somebody off here that might be a donor or something like that? I can go in there and I have the flexibility to do what I think's right and be transparent. And, you know, the chips fall where they may. If they, oh my gosh, you fired the assessor. Maybe that's not good for me politically. I think it's good for me in the long run of restoring confidence in the
I wish we could do that in Washington, Phil.
Amen.
For our listeners who are hurting and need to be made whole by all of this, what is the process? I mean, you guys got to be flooded with phone calls right now. Is this automatic? Yeah. Do they just talk to their tax person and say, look, this is what happened to me?
Yeah, and the process is going to be complicated, but we just went through it when I implemented a couple weeks ago the cap on commercial properties of 15% for 2025. Mm-hmm. We have to get them. We have to see what properties actually made an appeal.
Got it.
Did they agree and stipulate, and are they okay with that appeal? The people that didn't appeal. So we were kind of calling it in the process, get different pools of property owners. And, you know, one thing that I'm asked is, like, if someone went to the Board of Equalization and they agreed to something, does that mean that they automatically get a review? And
is that binding? Yeah.
Because I can't go – I'm not going to go into some negotiations and take that away. But I'll tell you this. But if there are some taxpayers that felt that they made some decisions under duress, then I'm definitely going to look at that on a case-by-case basis.
Wait, Phil, I'm going to stop you there because this is too important. So if someone, let's just play with numbers here, got an 80% increase.
We need to hold them over.
I know. This is theoretical, and we'll get your answer on the other side. If someone got an 80% increase, went in, and they said, well, the best we can do is 50%, and so you're in this position where you're like, well, God, I don't want it to be 80. I'll take the 50. You're saying there might still be a path for that person still to get it back down to 15?
And Phil, before you answer that, can you hold on? We're up against a hard break at the top of the hour.
You bet.
Okay, stand by. That is Jackson County Executive Phil Lavota here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.